Thank you, Jesus, for a new day. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us alive, kept by the power of God. Thank you for the grace of God that is with us from day to day. Thank you for your outstretched arm that works victory for us from time to time. Thank you for the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower. We can run into it anytime, and it's safety for us. The name of the Lord is victory for us. We thank you, Lord, because you have given us even your word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you, Lord, because of the assurances that we have that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for your promises in the word of God that you will command even the angel of the Lord. You will give them charge over us, watch over us in all of our ways. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all the good things that you have given us richly to enjoy. Glory to God. And above all, we thank you because you have given us the privilege to be called the sons of God. Oh, beloved, what manner of love God has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Even though it doth not yet quite appear what we shall be, we know that as we see you, as we experience you, we continue to be more like you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. It is another hour of power. And we are here this morning. I mean, this is a topic that everybody wants to know. Increasing in faith and power. How do we do that? Well, you know, everybody wants to know that. I want to know how to do that. You know, I want my faith to increase. I want my power, you know, in the presence of the Lord to increase, you know. We've seen how it appears that some people have power with God and others didn't. I mean, sometimes, you know, people could do great things, you know, in the name of the Lord. You know, sometimes, you know, it works. Sometimes it didn't work. You know, and sometimes some people had, you know, tremendous faith. And sometimes, you know, they didn't. And, it, you know, it just seems like, I mean, the same person sometimes may one time have faith and some other time not have faith. The same person may, you know, one time be able to do great exploits and the other times, you know, not so much. I mean, so what is all this about? Well, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning, and then we're going to pray. But before I do that, I want to talk about some general, you know, some general things or announcements. I am considering on Saturday doing two rooms because Saturday is actually my my day off, you know. And the weekdays like this, it's like everybody else, so busy, work all day and all that stuff. Well, Saturday is a little bit less, so I may do this. I will still do this room. But it will, probably won't be quite as long. It will be a prayer room. And then I may do a teaching room a little later in the morning. You know, because I've not been doing those rooms. When I started on Clubhouse here, I started by actually doing rooms on Saturday mornings because that was the only time that that really worked for me because, you know, work Monday through Friday, go to church all day Sunday, you know, so the only thing really was Saturday, you know. But then when the Lord called for this early morning prayer, it's been amazing. You know, I've just been enjoying getting up early in the morning, coming to the room with all of you, and sharing the presence of God together, you know. But that leaves me wide open for a whole lot of time. Still, you know, on Saturdays, Mondays or Fridays, not so much because I got to go to work. So I may do a second room. Or even, and then on Saturdays, we actually have yet another room the marriage ministry. So it may be three rooms this Saturday. We'll see how it goes. But when we start the rooms, you will get notified, of course, if you are following. You know, so just a little announcement. And then next week, this coming Sunday, by the grace of God, we understand that the rest of the country will have a time change. You know, we don't know where everybody who comes to these rooms, you know, where they are. But Arizona, thankfully, the time remains the same. So, on Sunday morning, the time will change at 2 a.m. It'll go backwards, for the rest of the country, 1 hour. So we'll be at the same time. We'll see how it affects others. You know, we may make some adjustment to accommodate them, but I don't think so. We're probably likely to, you know, have this room exactly where it's at. You know, so, we'll see what happens with the time change. And, but today, thank you for being here. And, want you to share the room and talk. I mean, invite people to join us. Let's talk about it this morning. You know, how do we increase our faith? How do we increase our power? You know, I mean, that's a question that the disciples also asked Jesus in Luke chapter 17, verses 5. Verse 5, they asked him, and Jesus gave an answer. And let's consider that question and the answer that Jesus gave today. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light, and let it bring also understanding to our hearts, even this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke 17:5, you know, the apostles asked the Lord, they said, Lord, increase our faith. Well, a lot of people may have that same question in their minds. Increase our faith, O Lord. Well, what does that mean? I mean, how do you measure faith? You know, so how do you measure faith? You know, faith is not an abstract thing. We know that. But how do you measure it? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's not, God doesn't consider it abstract. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So, but how do you measure it? How do you know when you need more? You know, but here's the answer that Jesus gave them in verse 6 of Luke 17. He said, look, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed. And notice the way that Jesus said it here. If you had, didn't even say if you have. If you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree. He was looking at a tree right there. Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. You know, so Jesus didn't quite, you know, go down the path of, okay, here's how I am going to increase your faith, because that's what they asked him, right? Increase our faith. You know, he didn't quite say that. But instead, he said, look, if you had faith just like a grain of a mustard seed, which is a very, very tiny grain, and you can use that to move even this tree that's in front of us here, and just it plucked up by the root. Well, I don't know how many people have actually been able to do that. You know, so does it mean that we don't even have faith that big, the size of a mustard seed? You know, I believe it's literal too. You know, people try to spiritual. When we cannot accomplish something of faith, then we try to spiritualize it. You know, for me, I believe you can literally do this. You know, so now if I don't or can't do it, that doesn't mean that I still don't believe that you can literally do it. You know, so, but there are many mountains also that Jesus spoke about. You know, if you could say to this mountain, that's the other one he said in Mark 11. You can move that mountain. You can move this sycamore tree. You can do all of these other things. You know, but let's see. Let's see in this same context, this story that we are in right here. Let's see what Jesus went on to say after he said that. He didn't stop there. And he said a few more things, which hardly people pay attention to. You know, people hardly pay attention to this. But he was answering the subject of faith. And, you know, instead of telling them how to increase their faith, you know, he told them this thing. So let's listen to it. He said, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, right? You have a servant in the field that's plowing or they're feeding cattle and so forth, you know, and how, which of you would say, you know, unto him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? I mean, if your servant, you send them to go and do some work in the farm, in the field, and when, as soon as they come in, which of you would say to him, hey, go sit down to eat, you know, and so forth, because you've been in the field all day. Would you not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird myself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? You know, so, I mean, just because the guy's been working all day and came into the from the field, will the master immediately tell him to go and sit down and eat? Will he not tell him to go do something else for the pleasure of the master? Does he thank that servant because he did those things that were commanded him? He'll say, no, I don't think so. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things, you know, for which you are asking for faith, you know, I mean, people ask for faith because they want to do great things. Well, Jesus is saying that even after you've done all those great things, which you are asking for faith, I mean, to do not that to do, then what you should say, rather than expecting, you know, a pat on the back or, you know, go sit down over here and now relax, what you should say is, look, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which was our duty to do. In other words, look, he is the master and we are his servants. He sends us, we do. When we are finished with that one, he sends us something else too. You know, he's not going to say, just because you finished that one, okay, now relax. No. The more you do, the more he'll even send you to do. You know, and so, but at the end of the day, he'll have his reward with him. You know, one time somebody was saying, you know, I was in a group where we're doing evangelism and things like that. You know, we do that, you know, even our local church here, we do that on Saturdays. We go out and somebody in the group was saying, well, Lord, you know, bless us for all these things that we're doing and stuff like that. You know, and, you know, the discussion, I mean, the conversation was almost going the direction, well, Lord, ought to bless us because we're doing all of these things. You know, and I pulled out this scripture and said, look, you know, you may be doing all these things, but Jesus says that you should not think of yourself as having accomplished anything, but you must think that you are even unprofitable servants. And when I said that, I was like silence because I guess they hadn't thought about that, you know. So, but let's think about it. I mean, why would Jesus say this right at the time when the disciples were asking for an increase in their faith? Now, it's either, you know, when Luke wrote this, he wrote it out of sequence. You know, maybe he didn't, maybe he just remembered the thing and just wrote it anyhow. You know, or If it was really part of the same conversation, which I believe it was, then, you know, then it is worth considering. You know, it is worth considering. So what is the reason why we would want an increase in faith? What is the reason why we would want an increase in power? You know, so, well, when you get the increase, so-called, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but I'm just posing these questions. What's the purpose in our hearts? You know, what is it that we want, you know, to achieve by it? You know, one time the disciples and even Jesus's siblings in John chapter 7, you can read the story, you know, there was supposed to be a feast, you know, that Jesus was supposed to go to. And, you know, he kind of like, you know, delayed as if he wasn't going to the, you know, to the feast. So, you know, the disciples and his brethren in John chapter 7, verse 3, therefore said unto him, depart hence and let's go into Judea, that our disciples also may see the works that thou doest. You know, because at that time they were trying to kill him. The Jews were trying to kill him. You know, so, and then they told him, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. I mean, why are you doing this thing in a corner? I mean, remember Jesus always, it was like anything he did, he would like, go and tell no man, you know, go to thy home. I mean, he would heal somebody and he just send them away. He would tell them not to publish the facts, you know, and then he would walk away. Although those people went and published it anyway. But Jesus always told them, don't say anything to anybody. Just go and, you know, give an offering or something, do whatever Moses commanded you, but don't say anything. Just keep it to yourself. You know, but the people went and his fame was growing nonetheless. But I mean, why was Jesus always doing the opposite of expectation? I mean, and to the fact that the disciples and his even siblings were telling him, look, if you really want to be known, you can't do these things in a corner. You need to go all over the place, broadcast yourself. You need, if it was today, it's like, well, you need to be on TV, you need to be on the internet, you need to be on social media, you need to be on this, you need to be on that, so that people will really know you. You know, and the Bible says that even his disciples did not believe on him, even his brethren. I mean, why was such a comment put in this story? For even his brethren did not believe in him. You know, I've often wondered about that comment. But Jesus, his answer to them was, look, my time is not yet, but your time is always. You know, and then he told them some other things. And Jesus always told people things that they were not expecting to hear. He said, the world cannot hate you, but it hated me, you know, because they wanted to kill him. Because I testify against it that its works are evil. So if you testify against this world that their works are evil, they're going to hate you. You know, say, but Jesus said, no, you go up to the feast. I go not up yet, for my time is not yet. You know, so, and after he said these things, he stayed still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then he went up. Now, why did Jesus do it that way? Well, two things. It's possible that the Father had not shown him that it's time to go. Because he said the Son can do nothing except what the Father shows him. And also, he didn't care about the accolades of the people, right? He didn't want to go in fanfare, you know, and so he just went quietly. He went quietly, you know. Listen to this, verse 10. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he up also unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Wow. And it wasn't because Joel was afraid of anything, but he didn't care to be known. And even the Jews were always comparing Moses with Jesus. Well, Moses gave us, you know, this and that. What do you do? You know, Moses gave us this and that, manna in the wilderness. What about you? And Jesus never cared about any of those things. In fact, everything that Jesus did, he did
not because to show off. They would tell Jesus, show us a sign, you know, and so forth like that. And he would say, look, no sign will be given to this generation other than the sign that's already given. Sign of Jonah as a prophet. You know, and then he would just say that. But they would say, show us a miracle. Do a miracle that we will know that you are who you are, who you say you are. Jesus wouldn't do it. But after those people left, then he would heal the sick. He would do all kinds of things because he didn't care. He never responded to, you know, the invitation from people to show off. He would never do it. He healed the people out of compassion. He healed the people because of what the Father was showing him to do. But never because people say, well, show us this thing, do this thing, and so forth. He even told them one time, said, look, the Greeks seek for knowledge. The Jews require a sign. I mean, you guys are always asking me to do this and do that. But he never did it. Jesus wouldn't show off. So, I say that as a digression when we ask the question, give me more faith and more power. Well, what is exactly we're looking for? In the process of looking for more faith and more power, I have heard that, you know, people go to so-called, you know, counterfeit ministers. They even go to look for power from their devil. I've heard it, you know, Nigeria and some other places, because they want to be more powerful. They want to have more power. They go and seek the temple of Satan, you know, and so forth. I mean, I just imagine what kind of nonsense and confusion is all of that. You know, so I want to set the record straight when we are asking God for increase in our faith and increase in our power. We need to understand what Jesus is saying here, you know, and what the way Jesus is doing it. Everything that we want done, and then we want more for the Lord, has to be for the glory of God. You know, it has to be. But that being said, let's look at some ways that we can actually increase our faith and actually increase our power with the Lord. You know, so here's an interesting scripture in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. It's an interesting scripture. It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Now, quit ye like men means, look, stop being, you know, in your mind, stop being a weakling, stop being, you know, just don't let the devil push you around. Don't be a pushover. You know, and don't let the devil push you around. Be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6 and 10 says that also. You know, so what does all this being strong in the Lord means? Well, and how do you become that? How do you get that strength in the Lord? Well, it comes from the knowledge of God. Pure and simple. Daniel 11 and 32. The last half of the verse is, and the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. When you know whose you are, then you will know who you are. When you know that you belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that has all power, Jesus said, all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore in my name. So Jesus delegated this. And there's a difference between, you know, and in one of my other teaching rooms, I will be talking more about that when I talk about, you know, coming into his likeness and in his image. There is a difference between authority and dominion. Authority is delegated power. You know, so Jesus delegated some power to them. He said, behold, I give you power. Luke 10 and 19. Over all the power of the enemy. and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know, so Jesus gave them power. He also said, look, you will receive power in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So how do we receive power? Well, these are some of the ways. We grow in his knowledge. We receive power. Daniel 11:32. You know, we receive power also because Jesus already gave us and he's the one that sent us. Yes. He said, as my Father has sent me, you know, even so send I you. And how did the Father send him? You know, Acts 10 and 38. He said, well, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil and so forth, for God was with him. Well, Jesus was praying for his disciples in John 17, and he was praying to the Father and said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so send I them. Then he turned around in John 20:21 and tells the disciples, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Right? So, I mean, there you have it. How did God send Jesus? Let's consider that for a minute. Acts 10:38. God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. That's how God sent him. And then he turned around and said, I'm sending you the same way as my Father has sent you, which means Holy Ghost and power. And he said it to them, Luke 24:49, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. So how do we get this power? Well, you got to be endued with power from above. Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Well, unfortunately, many and even most of the people that have the Holy Ghost today have no power. They can speak in tongues, but there's no real power. You know, so because the people focus on speaking in tongues when they are looking for the Holy Ghost, you know, and so all they are thinking about is, they think that Holy Ghost equates to speaking in tongues. I mean, that's the farthest thing from the truth. Devils can speak with tongues. And that's not to say that the Holy Ghost will not make you to speak in tongues. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. You know, but they were not focusing on speaking in tongues. They were focusing on, we will receive power. Wait for the endowment of power. And that's what they were waiting on. They even though Jesus had said that, you know, they that believe in me shall speak with new tongues, but they didn't know that they were going to speak with new tongues on that day or even what it meant. What they didn't know was that we're going to be endued with power to be his witnesses. So what is the purpose of the power? Well, it's right there. In Acts 1:8, to be effective witnesses unto him. That's the purpose of the power. How do we get it? Well, I've already described it. You know, but how do we get even more? Well, in Acts chapter 2, these disciples, they got the power of the Holy Ghost. Right? It was also called fire. That's how the cloven tongues of fire came. John the Baptist said he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. We've been talking in this room since we started about that fire in our hearts. And Peter stood up, preached to a great multitude, out of which 3,000 were saved. The same Peter who shied away from even a maid, denied Christ before a maid, before Christ was crucified. But on the day of Pentecost, boldness came into him like never before. He indicted the generation and said, this same Jesus whom ye crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Had power, had boldness. Now, fast forward a couple of chapters. They began to threaten them in chapter 4. You know, and they grabbed them and put them before the council and beat them up and everything and say, we charge, strictly charge you, don't say anything. We don't want to hear this name. you know, and all of that. You know, so when they left, they went back to their own. And the Bible says that, you know, they prayed again in Acts chapter 4. They prayed, you know, because they were threatened. And verse 28 says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness." You know, so when your boldness is slipping away, you got to come back for more power. That's what I'm talking about this morning. "That we may speak thy word with boldness, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be known by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." So it's all about him. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together." Now, this is not Acts chapter 2. This is Acts chapter 4. Verse 31 now. "This place was shaken, just like there was a rushing mighty wind the first time. The place was shaken again the second time where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost again. And they spake the word of God with boldness." You know, so these people, they wanted more power because they were threatened and they were scared. And they went back to the Lord, and the Lord filled them with the Holy Ghost and power again. And they spake the word of God with boldness. You know, and there's always that Holy Ghost feeling and power that comes when you are facing, you know, tremendous challenges. Stephen, when he was about to be stoned to death, the Bible says he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. You know, the Holy Ghost came upon him again at that moment for him to withstand the greatest challenge of his life, you know, being stoned to death. You know, so the purpose of the power is to be an effective witness for God and to do great works for the Lord's glory. What about our faith? You know, how do we increase our faith? Well, we read it, but Jesus said, you know, the way to increase your faith is to use it. Rather than praying for more, he's basically saying, use what you already got. The more you use it, the more you have. Some people say, you know, some people, doesn't say it exactly like that in the Bible, but some people say that faith is the currency of the Bible, I mean of heaven. Well, unlike the currency of the world, when you use it, the more you use it, the less you have. Unless you acquire more. I don't care how much money you have, you just keep taking it. And you don't put more back. One day it's going to run out. But quite unlike that, faith, the more you use, the more you have. You know, so if you use it, Jesus said, look, he that is faithful in little will be given more. But if you don't use it, even that which you seem to have will be taken from you. You know, I talk about that multiple times in this room, right? It's there in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. It's also there in Matthew 13. Jesus said, look, if you do not use what you have, it will be taken from you. Take heed how you hear, whosoever hath. If you have a little faith to start with, you'll be given more. But if you do not have, which means you're not using what you have, it'll be taken for you. Remember the story, you know, of the talents, you know, Matthew 20, Luke 19, all these stories everywhere. You know, when the one that did not, you know, do anything with his talent was taken from him. So we learn also that it's, let me put it this way, use it or lose it. You know, so the same thing with faith. Use it or lose it. If you're not exercising your faith, enough time passes, you won't even have faith for anything. You know, you won't even have faith for anything. But you must practice faith daily. Practice faith, practice faith. Believe God for small things. Believe God for bigger things. Listen to the words of Jeremiah 12 and 5. He says, if you have you know, run against footmen and you are weary. You don't succeed when you do a foot race against people who are also on foot, just like you. Both of you get on the track, everybody get on the track, and you lose. How are you going to contend against horses? You know, if in the land of peace, wherein you trusted, you know, you fail. What are you going to do when Jordan overswells his banks? You know, when all hell breaks loose, if you want to put it that way. So that means use your faith for little things before you can expect bigger things. Don't say, oh, I want to run against, you know, horsemen, when you have not even been able to run against footmen. If you have not been able to use your faith for little things, you have a headache, can't use your faith for that. God forbid that there is a situation where you have even a greater challenge, health challenge, leukemia and all these other things, diabetes and, you know, God forbid even worse diseases. How are you going to be able to use your faith for that? You can't use your faith for little things. So use your faith. The more you use, the more we have. But let's take a look at, you know, some other ways to increase our faith. Knowledge, people say, is power, right? Well, people say that. And the scripture says it in a roundabout way too. You know, for you to know the Lord, you know, it's really an amazing thing. The more we know of him, we already read that in Daniel 11:32, right? The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So, you know, it's important for us to really know him. It's very important. So knowledge is very key. The knowledge of God, the more we know about him and who he is, the more we have power with him. Because now it's not about you, it's about him. So as we increase our knowledge, you know, and 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We got to grow in that knowledge. The knowledge of the Son of God. We covered this in, you know, a few days ago, last week, when we talked about that I may know him. You know, Philippians 3 verses 8 and 10. That was what Paul was striving for. Ephesians 4 verses 11 to 13 also talks about all the giftings, even the ministerial offices and gifts that God put in the church. Is for one of these purposes, that we may attain to the knowledge of the Son of God. My goodness. The knowledge of the Son of God. And you know, if we don't have knowledge, we perish. The scripture says that. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, you can find that in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And knowledge is so key. I remember when I was doing the series of pillars of wisdom at our local church, I spent a great deal of time on knowledge. It is so key. You know, to know him, of course, is eternal life. That's 1 John chapter 5 and 20. We know that. But also the knowledge of God, Proverbs 9 and 10. You know, the knowledge of God is understanding. The knowledge of the holy and things like that. And, you know, Peter used to write to the disciples and all these other people wrote, you know, he said, look, 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 2 to 3. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Christ. So the more you know, the more peace you have, the more victory you have in the Lord. The knowledge of God, you know, the Bible says the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. The knowledge of the glory of God, so, you know, can be so vast that it will be like the oceans. Well, but right now, we don't have that oceanic kind of knowledge. Or we don't have that degree of the knowledge of God. What we have is a bucket full instead of the ocean full. When you take a bucket to the ocean, you only can take so much. But the ocean is still there. So we gotta find out more. No more. Now at the end of the age, Daniel 12 and 4 says, knowledge shall increase. Well, it's not just carnal knowledge or earthly knowledge or scientific knowledge, which is increasing, but also the knowledge of God would also increase, because these are the things that bring power, you know, to us. You know, so it is important for us to know the Lord. Proverbs 24 verses 3 and 4 says, you know, wisdom builds the house. Understanding establishes it, but it is by knowledge that the chambers are filled with precious and pleasant things. And you want your life to be filled with precious and pleasant things, you get more knowledge. Well, knowledge of God and even knowledge. You know, knowledge. You know, because if you don't have knowledge, you know, people say, look, my people perish. I mean, Hosea 4:6, perish for lack of knowledge. So it is important for us, even in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, people are impoverished due to lack of knowledge. You know, even nations of the world, the so-called third world nations and the backward nations and things like that, they are impoverished when there's no, you know, people that have real knowledge are not the one that are in power. You say, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst. Because there's no knowledge. Consider if you, even if you have real knowledge of God, what that can do. So it is so important, you know, that we understand this as we want to grow our knowledge. Verse 20. There's only one chapter. You know, it says that here is another way that you can grow in faith by praying, he says, in the Holy Ghost. You know, and there is a song we used to sing like that. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal. So he says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How do you build up your most holy faith? How do you build spiritual capacity? Now, some people don't know that we should actually be doing that. Building spiritual capacity. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Well, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and 17. You cannot, they can't do it without the word of God. You cannot do it. But when you begin to do that and praying in the Holy Ghost as well, my goodness, he says you're going to build spiritual capacity. Let's look at some people that had real power with God. You know, power with God also comes with determined faith that will not let loose. These two things go together. You know, Genesis chapter 32. We see the story from the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And in verse 28, we saw what was said about him. He said, they even changed his name because he said, look, you have power with God as a prince. Glory to God. He said, look, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. My goodness. For as a prince, hast thou power with God and with man. Now that's somebody that the Lord said, you have power. And what did he do? He wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long. He wouldn't turn loose. You know, that's some kind of power. He would not turn loose. He wrestled and he prevailed. Glory to God. That's the beauty. God will give you the grace to wrestle with him and to prevail. Because God wants you to prevail. But that kind of power, how do you get it? How do you get that kind of power that lets you wrestle with God and prevail? Well, let's read some things in Psalm 18. You know, I want to read quite a few verses in Psalm 18. Because this man, David, you know, I can hardly talk on a subject like this without going back to David. Because David understood some things which the rest, many people did not. Starting at verse 1, I'll probably read the first 19 verses and maybe jump to a couple other verses. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. So right away, you know, God was his power. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Now, when you say things like this about God, that is the source of real power. You know, when you begin to tell God how great he is and that he's your confidence and that you will not put confidence in man or princes. When you begin to tell God that he's your fortress, your deliverer, your high tower, your shield, your buckler, your salvation. I mean, just look at it. That's real power. Now, let's see whether this thing has power. Let's see whether this kind of thing, you know, acknowledgement and acclaiming, you know, I mean, acclaim that it puts to God. Let's see whether it has any effect on the Lord. He said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compass. I mean, this man, you know, he was in jeopardy of his life every single day. After the anointing of grace to be king came upon him, Saul wanted to kill him. And everywhere he went, in his presence, threw a javelin at him, hunt him down all the time. I mean, this man had no peace. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death were around about me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God. And he heard my voice out of his holy temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Now, let's look at God's response. This is power with God. If you say power, well, let's look at what God can do when you call upon his name. And I often ask people, can your prayer make God do this? Now, if you want to talk about somebody that has some real power with God, let's look at how God responded to David when David cried in his distress to the Lord. Verse 7 says, then the earth shook. Now, it wasn't David that shook the earth. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the earth hills moved and were shaken because God was wrath. Why was God wrath? God wasn't wrath with David. God was wrath on the thing that was contending with David. He said, I will contend with him that contendeth with you. Glory to God. You know, so God was wrath. God stood up. And you talk about power with God. There went out a smoke out of his nostrils. Fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. Can your prayer do this? Do you have this kind of power with God? Yes, you can. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds. The brightness that was before him, thick clouds passed by him, storms, hailstones and coals of fire. I mean, God thundered from the heavens. The highest gave his voice. And just because David was praying, I mean, God did all these things. You talk about some real power with God. You know, he said, Lord sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Channels of waters were seen. Foundations of the earth were discovered at the Lord's rebuke. My goodness. One man praying and caused God to stir things up like this. Glory to God. At the blast of the breath of his nostrils. And he said, the Lord took me. He drew me out of many waters. God did all of that to show his power and that he was going to deliver. God could have just taken him, you know, without showing all that greatness. But he showed all that greatness for us to learn something. That if you know how to walk God's praise like David did, if you know how to make God, I exalt God. If you know how to have the high praises of God in your mouth, like God, David always did, that's a source of real power. So if you want to increase your power, you increase your praising. That's right. Praising the Lord increases the presence of God in our lives. Psalm 22 and verse 3 says, the Lord dwells in the praises of his people. Habits. So the more you praise, the more power you come. Also, John 14, 21 and 23. The more you keep his word, the more his presence is drawn to you. Jesus said, I will love him. My Father and I will come to him because he keeps my word and he loves me. Glory to God. You know, and listen to verses 28 and 29 of Psalm 18. You know, wow. Glory to God. For by my God, I've run through a troop. You talk about power. And by my God, I leaped over wall. You talk about some real power. Glory to God. You know, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in him. And this man, he said, look, in Psalm 27, you know, he said, I don't care if they surround me. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. They will stumble and they will fail. You know, as long as I have the Lord with me, I will not be afraid of anything. I mean, this man had some real faith and some real power with God. You know, when they come against me, they stumble and fail. He says, even if, you know, he said, look, even if they, you know, rise against me like bees in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. I mean, this man, he did. I mean, he had power in the confidence that God was with him. So that's real power, in the confidence that God is with you. He said, when the Lord is with me, whom shall I fear? When the Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? You know, whether they come, you know, against me or this and that, it doesn't matter. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, that is the source of real power. Hallelujah. That's the source of real power. So, but Jesus also talking about faith, you know, in Luke chapter 18, you know, but he said, look, when the Lord comes, I will be looking for faith. Will you still be at the point of believing? You know, will you be at the point of believing? When we are crying to the Lord and the Lord finally shows up, will we still be at the point where we believe, or would we have run off? So this is how to get some real presence of God. Stay at that point of faith. Hallelujah. When Jesus shows up in your situation, make sure you are still at the point of faith. That's what that means. Hallelujah. Now, so the Lord wants us to have real faith, but real faith comes by all these things that we have described. Right? All these things that we have described, that's how real faith comes. Coming through the word of God, coming through praising the Lord, building up our most holy faith, in praying the Holy Ghost, and all and on and on and on. But all of that should be premised on the fact that God should get the glory. We talked about that right at the beginning. It is not because we want to amass to ourselves any more glory or any more faith. Listen to Psalm 118 and verse 12. He said, look, I don't care whether they surround me like bees. They will be quenched, you know, and in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. I mean, this man had confidence. Let them gather together against me. I don't care. He had confidence in the Lord. So confidence is the other thing that I want to talk about for just a minute. Confidence was something that David had that set him apart, because he had seen, you know, he knew, you know, what the Lord had done, right? It was the same confidence that he had when he went up against Goliath. He had confidence because he knew that the same God who had delivered him out of the lion's jaw and the paw of the bear and all of that. He said, he will, you know, deliver me out of this man's hand and so on. So, you know, all nations compass me. Let me read it from verse 8 of Psalm 118. We're going to talk about confidence for just a minute. That's another way that we get power from God. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence even in princes. And this was his own personal testimony. All nations compass me about. It doesn't make any difference. But in the name of the Lord, I'll destroy them. They compass me about. Yeah, they compass me about. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. That's the second time he's saying. Now, the third time he will say, they compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. And this is the confidence that this man had. You know, but this confidence must be not in the arm of the flesh, but in the strength that the Lord gives. Hallelujah. Psalm 20, he says the same thing also. You know, when he says that the Lord saved thee in the day of trouble, send thee strength from the sanctuary, strengthen thee out of Zion. Then he drops down here and says in verse 7, some trust in chariots. This is Psalm 20 and verse 7. They trust in chariots, others trust in horses, but we will remember the name of our God, the Lord. So he, you know, he has confidence. You know, those that trust in chariots and in horses said they are brought down and falling. But we that remember the name of the Lord our God, we are risen up and we stand upright. Glory to God. So these are all the things that we are talking about today. And I want us to pray. You know, that's the end of my delivery today. We're going to pray. You know, when we pray that God should increase our faith, what is the purpose? You know, that we are praying that God should increase our faith. When we want God to increase our power, what is the purpose? Is it so that we may be known? You know, is it so that we may show off? Jesus never did any of that. We read those stories already. And if you joined us late, we also read in even John chapter 7, where everybody was urging Jesus to show himself openly. And Jesus said no. You know, so, you know, it's not about that. But it's about us walking in power that he has given us. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know, so he's given us that power. Might as well use it to his glory. You know, so, hallelujah. You know, we don't, you know, it's not because of anything else, but he's already given it to us. And he said we should tread upon serpents and scorpions with the power. All demonic spirits and satanic altars, we should break them down. Destroy them all in the name of the Lord, David said. Glory to God. So this kind of power comes from reading the word of God. You know, knowing who God is, that you may know who you are. Because when you know whose you are, then you will know who you are. Knowing what things are freely given us of God, the power and the confidence that we can have in his word. And then building up ourselves daily, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, that's how we do these things. And exercising that faith, you know, even in little things. Don't let any little thing get the better of you. The more you use your faith, the more you will get. And Proverbs 24 and 10 tells us, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is little. So we don't want your strength to be little. You know, Paul said, quit ye like men. We read those scriptures at the beginning, 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. I'm just doing a summary now. Be strong in the Lord. You know, don't be a pushover for the devil. You know, stand your ground, stand your faith, stand the confidence of the Lord, knowing that the Lord has promised. And God said to, you know, Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be of good strength. Be of good courage. Be very courageous. That's right. You know, step out in faith. Believe the Lord. Put God's word to the test. And see if the Lord will not back it up. But don't doubt it in your heart. Glory to God. Father, I pray over this room, everyone listening, that has listened, and everyone that may listen later on, that an understanding of these things will be in our hearts. That begin to exercise the knowledge of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That we will exercise ourselves in the things of God. That we may know you. But the scripture says to know him is eternal life. To know him is to have power to do exploits. The people that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. Father, give us knowledge and understanding, even in your word, to discover you, even in the spirit. Discover aspects of God that we have not yet known. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, we tell you, if you think you know anything, you don't know it yet. Come to God for more and more. Glory to God. Let us come and learn of him and know him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We want to know you, Lord. We want to know you more. And let him that glorieth, glory in this, that they know me, saith the Lord. That I'm the one that executed judgment and righteousness in the earth. Hallelujah. And may this knowledge be in our hearts. You know, may the zeal of the house of the Lord that's in our hearts, you know, for wanting more faith and grace and power, be for the glory of God. And not for our own personal fame. Glory to God. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, our Lord. And ourselves are his servants. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. It's not about us, but it's about you, Lord. Glory to God. And Father, we pray that, you know, you will energize us to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, praying the Holy Ghost is not just praying in tongues, folks. You know, praying in tongues is one aspect only of praying in the Holy Ghost. People think that just means praying in tongues. If it was praying in tongues, it would just say praying in tongues. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Jesus was praying in the Holy Ghost. He wasn't speaking in tongues. He was praying the Holy Ghost when blood of sweat, or sweat of blood, rather, was coming out of his forehead. That's a groaning. That's a place of groaning. Glory to God. That we, many people don't know. You know, it's intercessory prayer, you know, in a degree that is way beyond anything, you know, that many people know. We groan. Hallelujah. We groan within ourselves. The scripture says we're groaning. In Romans chapter 8, you know, we groan. Hallelujah. Listen to this, Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes you groan in prayer. It may be with tongues, tongues of other you know, language or angels or whatever. But it may also be groanings in the spirit. You know, however the Holy Ghost brings it, pray in the Holy Ghost. Most of the way that people know to do that is to speak in tongues. That's good. But that's a good first start. And when you do that a lot, you will go into dimensions. or praying in the Holy Ghost, which you haven't even scratched the surface. But it starts with even praying in other languages. People call it prayer language. Well, whatever. Pray in the Holy Ghost. The more you begin to pray in the Spirit, glory to God. The more you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, trusting that the Holy Ghost is making intercessions for the saints, for even things you don't know. Intercession for your family, intercessions and things like that. You know, standing in the gap. And then God will begin to take you into groanings. My goodness. And you can really groan. You know, whether you're speaking in an unknown tongue or speaking in whatever your own language, you can, some groanings can come. Glory to God. Most of the time people experience it when they are praying in other tongues. But it goes beyond just speaking in tongues. It's a gateway to that. But there can be groanings. Ugh. When you pray like that, my goodness, you can move heaven and earth, especially when impending danger is coming, and you can pray like that and pray things away. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you and we give you the praise. And we give you the glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone to the room. I am done. I am going to open it up for folks to come to the stage. Share your reaction on what you've heard today, and then we're going to pray powerful prayer together this morning before we go. But remember, as I often say, when we pray, don't just pray. Pray according to his word, right? Lamentation 3:37. You cannot be praying something expecting it to come to pass when the Lord has not commanded it. That's what that scripture says. Who is it that saith? And it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it. So when you are praying, especially when you're praying with your understanding, be praying the scriptures. That's how we pray. Don't just pray. You know, you can't just pray things that don't, that's contrary to the word of God and expect God to back it up. No, God is not going to back anything up that's not his word. You know, but when you know the word, and you pray that word, then God will back it up. So I want you to come to the stage and we're going to pray together. You know, if you are in the room and you would like to come to the stage, please feel free to do that. You can raise your hand and you can come. And also I'm sending an invite to several people in the stage. I mean, in the listening lounge. If you want to come to stage, let's pray together. Let's believe God together powerfully this morning. Praise God. You know, and if you are in the audience and you can't come to stay, that's fine. Post something in the chat room. If you are excited, post some excitement in there. If you believe God, make a declaration in there. Let's believe God together. God, increase my faith, is what the disciples said. And Jesus said, well, use what you already got. If you don't use it, you will lose it. So we got to use our faith. So Father, help us, Lord, on a daily basis to do a life of faith. Walking by faith and not by sight. Exercise our faith every day, you know, that we may grow our faith. Exercising ourselves in the things of God and the knowledge of God, that we may grow our power. Receiving an endowment of power from God again and again, that we may be effective witnesses for him. We thank you and we give you praise. And give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.